Time to get back inside the legislative session, which came to a close at 6 p.m. on Monday. Now, though the session came to a close, we're not done with all the action just yet. Right now, sitting on the governor's desk is HB 423. HB 423 was put forth by State Representative Michael Mellorin, who joins us now. Representative Mellorin, how are you, sir?
Good, Brian. How are you?
Doing very well as well. All right, let's talk a little jackpot justice. Get into the nuts and bolts of what 423 was or is.
Yeah, is. So it started off in one form, and it evolved when it got into the Senate through amendments. And now where it's sitting on the governor's desk is essentially this. It would allow the jury to see the billed amount for medical treatment in a personal injury case, call it the sticker price. And they would allow also for them to see what was actually paid. So there's a difference most of the time. In the past few years, that difference has gotten bigger to be a vast difference. And at this time, right now, unless this law passes, the jury never sees the amount that was actually paid. They only see the amount that was billed. And why that's important is because, and you can go back and look during committee, it was stated that plaintiff's attorneys use that higher number in order to inflate what they ask for and what's called general damages, something like pain and suffering, mental anguish, things like that. So there's a direct correlation between the amount of medical bills somebody has and what the jury sees, and then tying it to the rest of the case. So if you're able to show the jury, look, I know they're billed this much, but they're only going to pay this much, it's a valid argument. And the plaintiff side even admitted during committee that they tie those two numbers together to inflate verdicts.
We're talking with State Representative Michael Mellorin about HB 423. And what happens here when you walk down that path is the number can be much greater. Do we know how much greater it normally is? I mean, I know that the difference is getting more and more vast, but do we have hard numbers behind what it's costing our state?
Look, if you look, there's some estimates that it's upwards of $3 billion, some studies.
Yep.
So I'm in, and you said it now, it's getting bigger. So the difference between the sticker price and what's paid is getting bigger. And it's just costing everyone in the state. And everybody looks at it and says, well, the person that's, you know, injured shouldn't be penalized for it. My view of it, and look, we're not saying that you're not going to get your medical bills paid. You're going to get your medical bills paid if you're in an accident. But what happens is everyone, like, regardless of whether you've ever made a claim on your auto insurance or not, that cost is paid down and trickled down to you. And so that's really what we're trying to stop is the trickle down effect of driving insurance costs up to people that have done nothing.
Right. And this is where we start to move over towards the term jackpot justice. No one's being penalized if your medical bills are paid, but this windfall on top of that goes away. We have this mentality in Louisiana that for some reason, getting into a car accident is a good thing because it's a payday. And look, the attorneys who fight for this in court, they're given the rules and parameters they fight for. I don't blame them at all. They're following the rules of how things have been set up. This is about changing the setup from the start.
Yeah, and look, I want to hit on that point again. Nobody is blaming anybody for playing within the rule. The rules are what the rules are.
Right.
But look, at certain times, and we do this in every sport that you have, you realize there's a problem with the rule, that there was an unintended consequence, and you go back and you fix it. And you revise those rules, and you look, I wrote an op-ed a few months ago or a few weeks ago with Rep. Chenevier, and we talked about how in the 90s, during college baseball, it was guerrilla ball era. And they realized towards the end of the 90s, early 2000s, wait, we've got to do something with these bats. These bats are, you know, making it the sport unsustainable. And they changed the rule. And about 10 years, 15 years later, they came back, changed the rules again. They're constantly doing this because they realize we meant to do this, but maybe we didn't do it quite right. And so they're tweaking it. And that's all we're trying to do with 423 is tweak it. And I do want to clarify one other thing is, the way it's written, the jury or a judge, if the judge, a bench trial, has the opportunity to give anywhere from 0 to 30% of the difference between the build price and the paid price. So if there's an extenuating circumstance where you say, you know what, yeah, maybe that person really should get a little bit more, the jury would have the option still to do it. Again, that's not something that was in my original bill. That's something that was added on in the Senate. But overall, I think 423 would have an impact.
How'd it do? Let's talk about the vote count on either side. How'd it do on the House side? How'd it do on the Senate side?
So on the House side, it got out with 88 votes. I think it was 88-10. Then it went through committee, got amended. It was amended again on the Senate floor, and it received, I think, 25 votes on the Senate side, which is one less than a supermajority. And then when it came back to the House, it received, I think, 68 votes. So right at or two votes shy of a supermajority when it came back in on the House side. And if you look, I think there were a number of people that were absent on that concurrence vote on the House side. So very strong bipartisan support, especially on the House side, and very close to supermajorities on both sides.
Okay, so let's keep it down that path, or I guess we'll get back around to that disparity in the vote path there. But let's move over to the governor's office where the bill is right now. Have you spoken to Governor Landry, and has he given you any feedback on whether or not he's going to sign this?
I have not spoken with him about this bill we spoke about it in the beginning of the session. But again, the version that was there in the beginning of the session isn't what's there now. I know there are a bunch of reports from different people that have talked to people in the staff that he's unsure if he's going to sign it or not, or if he's going to veto it. Look, obviously, I hope and I think it's a very good bill, so I hope he signs it. But again, I've not talked to him about it.
We're talking with State Representative Michael Mellorin about HB 423. This is we're talking jackpot justice here, and what actually ends up in the courtroom, what ends up taking its toll on our car insurance rates at the end of the day. Representative Mellorin, if he vetoes it, what's the likelihood that we could see a veto override? If we were just one vote short of a supermajority on the Senate side, would there be a rallying of the troops there?
That's a really good question. And I've had a lot of people ask. I can tell you, talking to a number of my colleagues on the House side, there's an appetite for a veto override. Whether it's successful or not, I can't make any guarantees. But I'm surely not going to turn in my ballot to cancel a veto session, regardless, but especially if that bill's vetoed.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to – this is probably one of those ones where the number – if legislators are in a veto override session, they would vote along with this bill in overriding this veto. But is it going to take other bills combined to bring everybody back to Baton Rouge?
Yeah, that's the bigger question. The Constitution says the veto override session is happening unless a majority of either chamber says no. And so, look, just contact your elected representatives and senators, regardless of what bills are there. It's in the Constitution. There's a reason for that. I think we should have a veto override session and at least have a discussion on every bill that's been vetoed, regardless of who's the governor, what bill it is, anything like that. We owe it to our constituents and the people of Louisiana to look at what was vetoed and determine, is that what the people of Louisiana want? And if you look at what happened in the fall in the election, and if you talk to anybody in the state, the most important thing is insurance.
Yeah.
We have to bring insurance rates down. And if you bring insurance rates down, or not even down, just open up competition to attract more people, that's going to have the impact of, you know, calming some of this crisis that we're in. And if you talk to anybody, that's it. Like, that's what matters, because it's driving businesses out of state. If you drive business out of state, you don't have the ability to pay better wages for people. It's just a trickle down on everything in the state, and it starts with that.
We got State Representative Michael Mellorin with us for about three more minutes before we have to hit news here at the bottom of the hour. I hate to squeeze you down to 3 minutes to cover everything else that you worked on during the session, but there was no way that we weren't going to take that close of a look at 423. I believe it's that important. Remember back before y'all got called in to draw a map, how there was so much talk about the possibility of a special session on insurance.
Yeah,
I mean this exactly. and that's why we want to give this so much attention. But in our last 2 minutes here, Representative Mellorin, What else did you get knocked out during the session?
Yeah, I had a busy session.
Yeah.
Learned a lesson as a freshman on the busy session. No, what we did was we had some bills that helped teachers and school systems so that they can provide tutoring services on campus. Coaches can hold camps on campuses now. So that was important. We also dealt with some things, just cleaning up some small things in civil procedure to allow lawsuits to go quicker. And also with my background in education, just passed the law, which the governor just signed, affirming that you can't use a portfolio system as a pathway, as a workaround on an appeals process to graduate high school. So those are some of the big things that I worked on. Also some stuff with workers' compensation and protecting businesses to make sure that, you know, if your workers' comp insurer comes in and looks at your books and doesn't say anything, they can't come back on you a few years later and ask for you know, owed premiums or anything like that, which in some cases can be hundreds of thousands of dollars and really impacts negatively our businesses in Louisiana.
Speaking of the education background, I'm going to want to have you back on to talk about a couple of those education bills because there was a lot of importance there as well. Oh, and speaking of your education background, last week I had your successor and Bessie on the show.
I heard.
Yeah.
I tried listening and I was driving down and I wasn't able to pull it up on the app. But she told me about it. And like, Bessie's in good hands with us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And she knocked it out of the park for sure. In the meanwhile, he is State Representative Michael Mellorin. Given the endorsement for the Talk 107.3 app, download it today. Representative Mellorin, we're going to have you back on in short order to talk about those other bills.
All right. Thank you, Brian. You have a good one.
You too.